beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, the Republicans won the White House, and they won the Senate, and they won the House. And now, what kind of a job are they going to have getting pro-life nominees through the Senate Judiciary Committee? Well, we have online with us not the guys at MoveOn.org. They're the enemy. But have you heard of the website RightMarch.com? It's the antidote to MoveOn.org. And we have their founder online with us. We're glad to welcome William Green to Bob Inyart Live. William, how are you?
Hey, doing very well. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, William. So tell us about Arlen Specter. We're out here in Denver, Colorado. We got an audience also around the country on the web. But not everybody knows about the battle between Arlen Specter and Toomey, was it? Pat Toomey?
Yeah, you had a primary battle in Pennsylvania between Specter and Toomey. What you've got in Arlen Specter, of course, is what we like to call a Republican in name only, or a rhino. Arlen Specter is very liberal. He's got, I believe, a 43% rating from the American Conservative Union, which is about half the average Republican senator. So he's very liberal. He's pro-abortion. He is famous for having stopped Judge Robert Bork from being approved when Reagan nominated him as a judge. So he led the charge to Bork, and he voted against impeaching President Clinton as well. So he's had a long history of coming from the left.
And how about
the primary this year, the Republican primary in Pennsylvania, Congressman Pat Toomey, a congressman from Pennsylvania, ran against Specter and came very close to defeating him in the primary. It was only actually at the last moment a couple of other conservative Republicans, Senator Santorum and President Bush, stepped in and campaigned for Specter.
Yeah, help us deal with that, because that's rather discouraging. You've got a pro-lifer who has a good shot at helping the people from Pennsylvania to be represented in the Senate by not a pro-abort, but by a pro-lifer. And it was the conservative pro-life leaders of the party that came in and rescued the pro-abortion candidate.
Yeah, it was actually very discouraging in that sense. I mean, I understand the politics of it. The politics behind it was, number one, for Santorum, Specter had been fairly instrumental in helping Santorum win his nomination and election when he was first elected to the Senate. And so Santorum, this was sort of payback time where Santorum helped Specter out. For President Bush, I think that the idea there was, at least on the part of President Bush's handlers, was that Pennsylvania was a swing state, or supposed to be a swing state this year, and if they helped out Specter, the idea was that Specter would go around and campaign and bring in Pennsylvania for President Bush. Now, of course, just the opposite happened. Specter didn't campaign for Bush hardly at all. Pennsylvania did not go for Bush. It went very much for Kerry.
And
Specter didn't even help some of the other Republican congressmen that were running that could have really used his help, that could have probably have won if he'd have helped. So it really didn't help any matters at all.
And
that
William,
they came in and helped him.
All right, William Green of RightMarch.com. Once Arlen Specter won and George Bush won re-election, the first thing that Specter does, basically, I don't care how he spinned it afterward, is he issued a threat to President Bush saying you better not nominate any pro-life justices because they're not getting through the committee that he expects to head. So, hey, William, I think your analysis was accurate. That's how Santorum and George W. Bush analyzed this. Politics makes for strange bedfellows, but when you're dealing with an issue of abortion, which the pro-life community believes is the murder of unborn children, you're killing innocent children, it seems that those kids should not be chips that are willing to be waged on a political gamble.
I agree with you 100%. I think that's one of the reasons that conservatives and pro-lifers have been so disappointed with the support that Spector received from Bush and Santorum in getting reelected. And I think that it's come back to haunt them very quickly now. As you said, immediately after the election, Spector issued these not-so-veiled threats not to send any pro-life judges up, which was actually a good thing. I mean, it was just Spector being Spector. They don't call him Snarlin' Arlin for nothing. Hmm. He got out there and he spoke exactly the way he's always spoken. And so, and he knew that he wasn't running for re-election now, and so he could just say whatever he wanted. But, of course, he is running for something. He's running to get the position of chairman of the Judiciary Committee.
Right.
It's not an automatic thing. Even though the Senate, you know, tradition and the rules say that it goes by seniority, it doesn't have to go by seniority. And so, of course, the immediate thing that happened was conservatives and pro-lifers, Christians nationwide, really rose up in arms against Arlen Specter becoming that chairman of the judiciary, because the chairman of the Judiciary Committee is the bottleneck that judicial nominees has to run through. He's the gatekeeper for President Bush's judicial nominees, and if you've got someone in there that's liberal, that's pro-abortion, that doesn't believe in strict constructionism and their constitutional interpretation, then that's going to be a real hindrance to getting those kind of judicial nominees through. And so conservatives around the country began just swamping, bombarding Senate Republicans, demanding that they stop Spector from becoming the chairman of this committee.
And I actually don't think that the Republicans are going to care all that much what pro-life Christians, pro-life conservatives think or feel, even though it's so strong on this issue. But we have a link from our website to the American Family Association. They have an online petition people could sign to urge George W. Bush and the Republicans not to allow Arlen Specter to chair the Judiciary Committee. And so far, over 237,800 people have signed this online petition. And
it's been wonderful to see the conservative and Christian community rise up like this. You've got the AFA petition. You've got a number of organizations that have set up petitions as well. Over at our site at rightmarch.com, we set it up so that people could send faxes to every single one of the Republican senators demanding that they stop Spector, because it's all the Republican senators that are going to get to vote in January on whether Spector becomes the chairman. It starts with the Republicans on the committee, and then it goes to a general secret ballot for with all the Republicans in the entire Senate, and they get to decide whether or not Spector becomes the chairman. So we set it up. People could send faxes. We've had over 155,000 faxes go to Republican senators in the U.S. Senate, including the newly elected Republican senators, telling them, don't let Spector become chairman. Now, will they be listened to? That's what we're going to find out in January. But don't believe these news reports that say, well, it's all over. The Republicans on the committee have said they're going to support him, and so no problem. What we're getting from the conservative Republican leadership in the Senate is they are asking us and American Family Association. I talked to Jim Dobson at Focus on the Family. I talked to Paul Weyrich at Free Congress Foundation. The leadership, the conservative Republican leadership, is asking us not to let up, to keep pushing and applying the pressure that there's still a chance that we could stop him from becoming the chairman.
Mm. We're seeing Bush's cabinet for a second term take shape, and Condoleezza Rice as Secretary of State. That he made one appointment that seems a bit unfortunate at the Justice Department. He has a friend and a supporter, a legal confidant from his years as the governor of Texas, Alberto Gonzalez. And George W. Bush helped Gonzalez to become the Chief Justice on the Texas Supreme Court. And Alberto Gonzalez is a strong supporter of abortion rights, even extremist, not just simply pro-choice, but he helped to pass the most extreme pro-abortion legislation in the history of the Texas Supreme Court. And now George Bush brought him as Chief White House Counsel, and now he's made him basically, well, the U.S. Attorney General and the head of the Justice Department. You have any thoughts on that? It's a bit discouraging.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that you've got someone in that position, especially when you still have pro-life picketers and so forth that get sued by the NOW gang,
yeah,
and NARAL and Planned Parenthood, and these kind of things still go all the way. They have to be tried, and the Justice Department really has a big influence on what kind of cases the government is going to step in on.
Yeah, in
and
fact,
so unfortunately, you've got someone like Alberto Gonzalez,
yeah,
there heading up that, because that means that's not going to be much of a priority for him. Whereas with Ashcroft, at least you had a good, solid pro-lifer in there that you knew that could be a priority. One good thing about appointing Gonzalez as the Attorney General is this, and that is he is much less likely now to be appointed by President Bush to the Supreme Court when an opening comes up there. And that's what a lot of pro-lifers were very concerned about, that Gonzalez would be Bush's next nominee or first nominee to the Supreme Court if an opening came up. If he has been put over there at the Justice Department, at least that's not a lifetime position. And he's unlikely now to be nominated to the Supreme Court, which, of course, would be a lifetime position. So I think we can at least take a breather there.
And William Green, again, we're talking to the founder of Right March, rightmarch.com, the antidote to moveon.org. But, William, it's a bit disconcerting that pro-lifers have to be concerned like that. We did a little bit of research and looked at a number of Bush's judicial appointees when he was the governor of Texas. And he really did a job putting pro-aborts, I think maybe 4 out of 5 justices he managed to get or was a major factor in getting onto the Texas Supreme Court, were strongly pro-abortion, as well as a number of the other crucial judges that he put in district courts and appellate courts in Texas. And
yeah,
it's,
I think here's where we might see things happen a little bit differently, or at least I'm hoping so. And that is that in Texas, you did not have a strong grassroots community that pushed hard on Governor Bush to not appoint those kind of people. Governor Bush put a number of the wrong people in there. As president now, what we have is a nationwide, very empowered Christian pro-life community. We're talking about the values voters that got President Bush reelected, that got the new majority in the Senate, that got the bigger majority in the U.S. Congress. These people are now very vocal. We're seeing it with the whole Specter thing. We're going to see it with the federal marriage amendment, and we're going to see it if any positions come open on the Supreme Court, where the grassroots are now, we're not afraid to speak out, and we have, that's one of the things that we try to do at rightmarch.com, is use the internet to empower Christians and conservatives nationwide to be able to have their voice heard in unison. We have 2 or 3 million messages a year go through our website, going to Congress, the Senate, the President, other organizations. We've got hundreds of thousands of faxes that go through our site as well. The idea is to let our voices now be heard where they haven't been heard before. And I think if we do that when it comes to something like a Supreme Court nominee,
mm-hmm,
I think President Bush is going to really listen up a lot more, because he didn't have those kind of voices when he was governor. And we've just got to hold their feet to the fire, including President Bush. He's a good man, but we've got to hold his feet to the fire to make sure that the right kind of people are getting into these positions.
Well, I hope, I sure hope that happens, William Green, and that's why from our website, KGOV.com, we've linked to, well, the AFA petition, and we're also interviewing you right now. But when we look at, normally we get more discouraged than encouraged by Republican Party politics. If we,
yes,
look at the U.S. Supreme Court right now, its composition, 7 of the 9 justices were appointed by Republican presidents, and the court really is hostile to traditional American and Christian values. It's a solidly pro-abortion court. It's pro the homosexual agenda. It's at every turn. It's even recently voted on the side of child pornographers against law enforcement, making it easier for child pornographers to conduct their business. If we succeed, and let's say we get 9 out of 9 U.S. Supreme Court justices nominated by Republican presidents, we've got 7 out of 9 right now, and we're getting slaughtered.
Yeah, it really can be very disheartening, because just because someone's Republican and it's a Republican putting someone in doesn't mean that they're conservative. It doesn't mean they're Christian or pro-life. It just means they're Republican. And we see with someone like Arlen Specter, well, he's a Republican, but he certainly doesn't hold to the right values. We really have to be diligent, and we have to hold these people's feet to the fire. We got to make those phone calls. We need to travel to our congressmen and our senators' offices, especially in the district while they're at home. This coming December 9th, we are helping with a number of other Christian and pro-life and conservative organizations. We're spearheading a movement for everybody to go to their Republican senator's district office on December 9th and tell them face-to-face, I am your constituent. You need to make sure that Arlen Specter does not become the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, because we need good, solid, conservative, pro-life judicial nominees to get through there, and he won't let them through. And I think on December 9th, if everybody goes down there or at least makes a phone call, then once again they're going to be overwhelmed. We're going to continue with the faxing through rightmarch.com. We're going to set it up so people can fax to their senators' district offices as well. We're going to make sure that we keep the pressure on. We may not win every time, but we've got to make sure we don't grow weary in well-doing. It's worth doing the right thing no matter what.
Yeah, amen to that. And here's the first battle, really. This is the first battle following the reelection of George W. Bush. So it'll be fascinating to find out if the conservative Christians have a voice in this very crucial matter.
Well, we're certainly not going to be quiet now.
No. Hey, William Green, again, William's website is rightmarch.com, and it's in response to the liberal moveon.org. But, William, when we look at the pro-life judges on the U.S. Supreme Court, even that tends to be a bit disconcerting. I think Thomas and Scalia are both on record stating that the problem with Roe v. Wade is that it's judicial activism and that the states should legislate and decide issues like abortion. And that, if we look at that, if they were communicating their actual legal opinion, and I doubt they were misleading their listeners and readers, that's not really a pro-life position. A pro-life position is this, that the unborn child has a right to life and the government must defend that life. It's pro-choice to say that the state legislators should decide whether each state will have abortion legalized. That's actually a pro-choice position state by state.
And yeah, so I think what they've done is they've taken, keep in mind, they are in a constitutional position. I mean, the Supreme Court of the United States is one of the three branches deemed by the U.S. Constitution. And so the position they're taking is actually one of, in terms of constitutional law. That is, the federal government should not be the ones to stand up and say, hey, this is legal in every state. Now, I'm with you. I think that what the federal government ought to do and what they ought to do at the legislative level and not let the judiciary even enter into this, the federal government ought to step up and say that these babies in the womb are human beings and cannot be killed. You cannot just murder a human being in the womb. That's murder. And so if our legislators had any guts, this shouldn't even be a judicial issue whatsoever. It ought to be the legislators standing up and saying, that's murder, and we need to make sure that murder is illegal, that it can't be legalized in any state no matter what. So I would love to see that happen, but we've tried to push a federal life amendment through in the past, and we've just got so many legislators up there that are just, they're such weaklings when it comes to moral values and issues like that.
And I think one of the reasons that is because politics itself is a game of compromise.
Yeah.
And when somebody is young and believes in, you know, godly values and that innocent human life should never be intentionally, directly targeted and taken, that's a fundamental principle of right and wrong. But when you have to compromise at every level in your political career to get on the ballot, to win an election, to get ahead, to get on the committee, by the time you get to federal office, you've probably compromised on your principles 1,000 times. And these people that rise up to the top of the Republican Party, they no longer realize that it's wrong to compromise on fundamental issues of morality.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that politics can really do that to a lot of people. Especially with as centralized the power has become into Washington, D.C., you have a lot of people that are gravitated to politics not to do good, but to gain power. And so one of the problems is that we've ignored the U.S. Constitution, the restraints on federal governmental power for so long, we've allowed that kind of power to concentrate at the federal government level. And so what happens is people that really want to go after power, they end up running for office at the federal level, and they get corrupted by it as well.
Well, you were referring to the Constitution now a couple times. You know, in the preamble of the Constitution, it says that this is to secure liberty to ourselves and our posterity. And it seems to me that you could take any dictionary in the country and look up the word posterity, and a child in its mother's womb could not possibly be excluded from the meaning of posterity.
Yes, I think you've got a great case there for that exact argument. In fact, there's a lot of different ways, a lot of things that you can pull from the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence that are so obvious to you and I that it ought to be applying to all people, born and preborn. Unfortunately, we've got to push harder to make sure that does come about.
And it is
happening. I mean, people's hearts are slowly beginning to change. But the unfortunate thing is, we don't have enough of people in the leadership position that are really pushing that through. And we need to make sure we get more in there.
William, I'm not sure about that. In 1973, when abortion was legalized, the nation was overwhelmingly against abortion and pro-life by default, de facto. And today it's closer to a 50-50 split, and the numbers might change a few percent here or there as you go, you know, every four-year presidential election cycle. But we have over a million abortions take place in America every year, which tells us that over a million young women are having abortions. And there's no longer a stigma. You might remember when you were growing up, I don't know how old you are, but I bet you when you were growing up, there was more of a stigma to having a baby out of wedlock than there is today.
Right.
Is that true? And so,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and so pro-lifers point to the number of abortions that have come down slightly, but there's no longer the stigma. It doesn't matter if a woman is unmarried. If she wants a baby, she'll have the baby whether she's married or not. And it's always great, of course, for her not to kill her baby. But the abortion numbers have come down slightly because there's no longer a stigma. Women used to get abortions because they were ashamed to be pregnant outside of wedlock. And today that has changed, that dynamic. So I don't know that we're actually winning the battle. And when I look at human beings, you know, it's the left, it's the liberals that say people are basically good. And it's the conservative Christian right that promotes the biblical principle that people are basically sinners, that they're basically evil. It's the crowd that shouted, "Crucify him," in that jury trial of Jesus Christ. And so I don't know that it's ultimately going to be the majority of the people who say we're going to stop abortion. I think they like abortion.
Well, I think it was the same way. The same kind of situation you had in the 1800s.
Yeah, with slavery.
Where the majority of the people, they either were in favor of slavery or it wasn't a stigma to own slaves or to be in favor of slavery.
Right.
And I think we've really got our job cut out for us. I mean, it's up to us to be salt and light. It is up to us to get out there and, number one, bringing people into the kingdom of God, but getting their hearts changed, because it takes a change of the heart for people to then take action because they need to change their mind on things. And the church has just done a poor job of doing that. We've retreated into our four walls too much in the past. And we need to be out there, not only active in politics. I mean, obviously, that's the area that I'm very involved in, is active in politics. But we need to be out there active in getting people into the kingdom. We need to be getting people understanding what the Bible actually says on all the issues of life. This is not just something so that you can go to heaven when you die. It's something so you can also be living the right way here on earth. And we need to do a much better job of that. We need to be getting out there and doing our job the right way.
All right. With that, I want to thank you, William Green, founder of RightMarch.com. William, thanks for coming on Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And so anyone out there in the audience who's interested in sending a blast fax to your Republican senators, you can do that at RightMarch.com and sign the American Family Association online petition against Arlen Specter, the specter of the killing of innocent children, right in the Republican Senate, as brought to you by George W. Bush, unfortunately, and Rick Santorum. Just, it's a trip, isn't it? How you've got conservative pro-lifers aggressively fighting to get radical pro-aborts into power and to keep them in power. It's a weird world we live in, isn't it? And the killing of unborn children, it's not something that actually is negotiable. And so whenever someone does that, whenever someone supports a candidate who advocates abortion, that's not just a political bad decision. That's wrong, and it's a sin. It's a sin to support someone who advocates the killing of unborn children. It's a sin. So don't do it. If you do it, you're going to be rebuked by me right here on Bob and Yurt Live and by anybody around you who knows right from wrong. And just wait till Judgment Day. Okay. Hey, I want to tell you about Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a neat school. Campus, beautiful campus, 20 acres. You should see all the animals they have on campus. So they must have 40 animals on that campus. They're just absolutely neat to go by, from miniature horses and sheep and ducks and geese and I don't know what all they got. They got a whole farm over there. And the kids just love it. In fact, people in the neighborhood love to walk by. It's such a beautiful campus. Over 100 staff members, Christ-centered, top academics, all of this for your children. So give them a call if you want more information, 303-431-5653. That's Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, 303-431-5653. And let me tell you about my life's work, a manuscript called The Plot, an overview of the whole Bible. You know what's exciting about understanding Scripture? It's the confidence that you get in your life. When you deal with others in business, neighbors, friends, family, you come from a position of strength when you have a solid overview of the Word of God. I've devoted 30 years of my life to studying the Bible, and we offer this manuscript, The Plot. It's our best-selling 330-page book so that people out there in the audience can get a strong and confident grip on what does the Bible mean? What is it all about? To so many people, it's just a series of short stories and verses, and folks have a hard time connecting it all and understanding the overall storyline, the plot of the Bible. So call us at 800-8-NYART to order a copy, or you could listen on MP3 CD or audio tapes. Call us at 800-8-NYART, that's 800-836-9278, or go online at kgov.com, that's kgov.com, our website. And also, if you haven't been to our website, you'll love it. Every show is up there, and some of the shows we do here at Bob and Yurt Live are really a kick. And that's a good time to call a friend somewhere across the country and say, hey, check it out, Bob and Yurt Live at KGOV, KGOV.com, and come visit Denver Bible Church.